Conversations, podcast edition.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. Glad to be back with you on this Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition, where we bring you free, fresh content, as well as our best of interviews from SiriusXM all week long. You can find us here every Friday on iTunes, and we hope that you'll tell a friend, rate, subscribe, tell us we're awesome, or if we're not awesome, why we're not awesome, so we can become awesome. And hopefully, if you guys, you know, don't join us on SiriusXM every day, you'll like the show enough to kind of want to have more of us. Right? We'll leave you wanting more. We only give you Fridays.
Yeah.
It's such a scam.
Tease.
Such a tease. Anyway, hope you guys love the show. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But like I said, we do it for free. So if you could help us out by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show, we would love that. You're hearing this beautiful song for a reason, because my guest co-host for the day, Mr. Jeff Stultz, stars in 12 Strong, which is out in theaters today. Right?
Yes, today.
Today. And I got an early screener of the movie. The movie's amazing. It's based on a true story. Jeff, of course, is amazing in it. Right, Jeff? can you say that about yourself? When you watch a performance, can you say, oh, I was good?
I'll see it tonight, too, so I don't know yet.
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's fantastic, Jeff.
So in the past... Wait, so who sings this? Tom Petty? I'm so bad.
So this is a Tom Petty.
Thank God.
Remake.
Oh, yeah. Thank God I got it right. I would have been so embarrassed. Okay. I think he was my neighbor at one point.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
Great song.
Oh, yeah.
So is this a new rendition for the movie?
This is a guy named Ryan Starr who's covering the song. And I think, Jeff, you said it was specifically for the soundtrack, right?
Yeah, they got the rights to this. This was kind of crazy. They got it together, I mean, like 48 hours before he passed away, or it would never would have happened.
Wow.
And for him to sign off and all that, that's kind of nuts. And this was specifically for the trailer.
What a great thing to do it for, right? Like this movie, I was so blown away to hear the story behind it. So tell everybody a little bit about, you know, the true story that led to this movie.
So 12 Strong is based on a book called Horse Soldiers, and that was really the true story of the first American Special Forces responders to Afghanistan after 9/11. So 9/11 happens, then President George Bush Jr. says, you know, we got to go in. The machine, our the industrial military complex, is what's going to take us 6 months to get effectively on the ground in the Middle East and Afghanistan, and at that time that was unacceptable. So they kind of had a, and this is kind of from the words of Doug Stanton, the author of 12 Strong, of Horse Soldiers, sorry. It got changed from Horse Soldiers to 12 Strong because it turns out there's a John Wayne movie called Horse Soldiers.
No way.
Yeah. So they came up, there was a million different regions, and they came up with sort of or versions, and they came up with something that could be on YouPorn. And I mean, that could be the
perfect
name of it.
Yeah. 12 Strong.
That's right.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Oh gosh.
One guy
so,
that was
so
12
scary.
Strong. I'm kidding. Why does my head go there? Why? I know none of your heads went there. Go ahead.
I got a buddy from college, his name is 12 Soft.
Oh
so,
God.
That's what I think of every time I hear this. Anyway. Zia, shout out.
he hates you right now.
Yeah, you know, he's thrilled, I promise. So anyway, they sent, this was kind of like, if you think back to every one of us, we all have the same reaction, even the powers that be, like 9/11 happens, and then it's like everything is different,
right?
Everything changes. I remember where I was at, I'm sure everybody that's yep. old enough, except for maybe our new friend here, who looks 12.
poor Haley.
I know, Haley.
I was in third grade.
Yeah, okay.
So oh, my God, you were in third grade?
Isn't that so annoying? Rude.
Oh, my God.
But I still just remember started where I was.
One. Where were you?
I was in school. And my parents came to take me out because yep. it was just, I'm from New York, so it was a weird feeling even being in Buffalo 6 hours away, but they didn't know what was going to happen next. So
she was just learning how to multiply. I remember yeah. third grade was like multiplication tables time.
Third grade okay. and sophomore year of college, same thing for me. Yeah, so this, I just think about that. Think about the moment that you're aware of it. I remember I was sitting on my couch. Everything changes. So it changed for everybody. And we weren't even sure really, like who... When I say we, I mean, you know, America, like who was our enemy? Who was the bad guy?
Yeah. We and just wanted to hurt everybody that, you
basically.
Know, it was just like, we need to fight. Who are we going to fight?
We got to hit back somebody for like mm-hmm. collective patriotism, all that. And I mean, all the intel, they'd obviously knew who Osama bin Laden was. They knew who Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were. And it took a little bit of time to figure out like who's the bad guy. And then it became the, all right, great. We got a bad guy. Now we got to figure out how to get these guys. So the enemy of our enemy became our friend. And that's what it was. And so then the story says, we needed 6 months to get the whole military over there. They basically said to the then director of the CIA, and I forget his name, sorry, do what you got to do. No questions asked. We're looking the other way. He sent 11 guys, 8 guys into country. They were there for about a week. They showed up with bags of millions of dollars. That's what they did.
No way.
And they bought essentially a partnership with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, their enemies. So we partnered with a guy named General Dotson, who is now the vice president of Afghanistan. He was not necessarily a great guy in our minds. He was a warlord. Like, this guy, his allegiance could be bought and sold a little bit. So in our opinion, like, everybody over there kind of was, you know, we didn't trust anybody, but we knew that this guy hated the Taliban. This guy hated Al-Qaeda, and he wanted to fight. So we showed up there. 12 guys on a helicopter, volunteered. There were other special forces groups. Ours was ODA 595 that were in contention for this. They were willing to send one group. They were willing to lose one group. And it was, we just didn't have a presence there yet. We didn't have backup. We didn't have tanks. We had a forward operating base in Uzbekistan. That was it.
Which was 8 hours away, right?
So it was an 8-hour flight on a Chinook helicopter, higher than they'd ever flown and longer than they'd ever flown before. And then we get there, and it's just us, one CIA operative, and the Northern Alliance, essentially. So, and then this General Dotson, and it's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going 3 hours over this mountain today. We're going to go find the Taliban. Let's go get them. The only thing that we had was a radio that could call in airstrikes. That is it. And then whatever we could carry on our backs and then
and the bags of millions of dollars.
Those would, right.
Did those get touted around as they were on horseback?
Or
did they already spend it?
It was already fleeced through. By the time we got there.
But wait, so the thing I want to understand is, so the thing that was really just so real to watch in the movie is the moment where Hemsworth's character, I forget his name.
Nelson.
Where he is like fighting and his team are fighting to be the ones. You know you're going to be dropped into Afghanistan and now you have to go meet this warlord and you have to somehow align with him and you have no backup for 8 hours and you have to go now fight a war with 8 guys. Like I would never imagine in any world someone would be volunteering for that. And they're like celebrating and excited. Was that real?
Yeah. So I should have touched on that. Thank you for reminding me. So that was part of it. There were other teams that were in contention to get the nod on this. And we didn't think, when I say we, I mean this group of guys, my group that we portrayed, they didn't think they had a chance at it because the moment that 9/11 happened, they didn't have a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Nelson, Chris's character. And by the way, this was a classified story. So when Doug Stanton started writing this book in 2002, names were changed because it was classified. Now that it's declassified, they still kept the names from the book. These aren't, like, the real guys aren't named Captain Nelson and Lieutenant Coffers and all that. So that's why it's a, when you see the writer and some of the, and the real guys, Bob Pennington, some of the is one of the real dude. He's the guy that Chris's character is based off of. So the, it's declassified now. You can get the real names, but the characters in the movie are still the names from the book.
To protect, yeah.
They, so Captain Nelson, we'll just call him that. He had never.
He'd never gone to war.
Never been in war. Yeah. The rest of us had before, but he spoke Russian, so we could, and keep in mind that these guys, Afghanistan had been occupied for years and years by the Russians, so they spoke Russian. This is a group of people that we forget about too, and this, I'm going to get to that. This, they've just been occupied for generations.
Yeah.
They've grown up with war. It's such a normal thing for them, which is just fucking terrible. Sorry. But so anyway, they, this story really, to go back to your point, this story is about 12 dudes who loved one another, loved their families, loved their, I think the best line in the movie is Michael Shannon says, how can you love your family, let yet leave them to go to war?
Yeah.
And it's because these guys really, and it goes back to the way we all felt on 9/11. There's so many amazing stories of heroism and patriotism, but we were telling this story because Doug wrote a great book, and you can't make a movie about all of them, obviously.
Yeah.
And these, they were willing to make what have, could have been the ultimate sacrifice. They looked at each other and they knew we're probably not all coming home. We, some of us aren't coming home, and probably all of us aren't, but they all were willing to do that because of what they believe in. We got to hit back, and we got to make sure that this never happens again, ever, to America, especially on American soil. And these, and they did it, and they got, they took a flight over there, and they got dropped off, and they learned to ride horses that some guys had ridden before, some guys didn't, and that was the only means of transportation. And they were literally riding into battle against tanks and heavy artillery on freaking horseback.
It's unbelievable.
And some of these guys were literally didn't even know how to ride a horse. They were just like holding on, just trying not to fall off and trying not to get shot by a tank. So it's like a Western. It's a, this, I was so excited to do this movie. I tracked it. I chased it for a year. I wanted to do this thing. I wanted to tell this story. I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to grow a beard and ride a horse and shoot a gun. I wanted to do all those things. And then when Chris signed on, the movie was greenlit, and it was like, we had a minute to do it too, because it was in between his Avengers schedule. And it was like, this is our moment.
Knock it out.
Right now we're doing it. We did it over, started on Thanksgiving of last year, and we shot till basically the Super Bowl of last year. So right now.
Yeah. Well, it was amazing. I highly suggest you guys see it. It's such an important story, I think, for people to see of these incredibly, I mean, this is like beyond brave.
Do
if
I
you
have
guys,
one more second to say one more thing?
Yeah.
This is the other thing that I keep telling people about this movie. One of the important things about this is this story isn't just about American, these 12 guys and their heroism and their patriotism. It's about the people of Afghanistan that are so often portrayed as just blanketed terrorists. Mm-hmm. It's about these, the good people, the normal Afghani people who are proud and they have the same wants and needs as we do. And they are fighting every day, and they have been for generations, against oppression, against terrorism. And there's no way this happens. This story gets told. There's no way we accomplish this without their help. And it, this movie shows that. It shows them as the good people, as the good guys. And a quick story is we couldn't find any extras, any background people that were authentic, because none of them wanted, there's a big, we shot this in New Mexico, and there's a big Uzbek population, there's a big Afghan population there, and they didn't want to be a part of the movie because they just assumed, like, oh, here's one more American movie that shows every one of us as terrorists. And once they knew what the story was, once they went out and they reached out to the tribal elders, they, we couldn't keep them away. They would have an elder that would show up and sit in a chair every morning, and hundreds would show up, kiss his hand, say we're here to work. And they, and that's why it's like, that's why all the behind the scenes things are so authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So they were proud to be a part of a story that was telling the real story of who they are and what they believe in and what they stood for. So that's one of the other things I think is great about it. It's not just about, hey, Chris Hemsworth on a horse and he looks great and the rest of us. It's about...
the rest of us.
And the rest of us. Mostly me. It's a partnership, and I think that's one of the important things that we tell in the story that other movies about the time period don't.
I love it. 12 Strong Guys comes out today in theaters. Everywhere. You gotta see it. You're gonna love it. First up, you guys are gonna hear Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules reveal all the juicy details of what's going down on season 6 and beyond. When a letter said a soldier's coming
home. I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Guys, we are back with Kristen Doty. Of course, you know her from Vanderpump Rules. And I was very inspired by last week where you pulled Sheena aside and delivered the news to her that her boyfriend had been caught kissing another woman. And it inspired me to do a to tell or not to tell segment.
Okay, I was like, I was inspiring?
No.
That's the first time I've heard that.
Well, here's the thing. It's a hard decision. So first, yeah. I want you to tell me, meanwhile, I want you guys to call in 888-947-8277. Cousin Mike, if you got a story, you can call in twice. Don't feel bad.
We love you.
But I want to know, what was it a decision for you to approach her with this news? Because it is not easy to tell somebody, hey, your boyfriend's cheating on you.
Right? So, I'll be very transparent about, like, what happened. In an ideal situation, and what Brittany wanted, the night before, I was at Brittany's house helping her get ready. This was off camera. And Brittany was just drunk and kind of like just shaking with this news, and like, I have to call Sheena. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, Brittany, we're looking at Sheena's social media. I'm like, she's out with friends. She's like, you cannot just like drop this bomb on her in a text message while she's out and about and there's nothing she can do about it. We also heard that Jax told us that he was going to drop this bomb at the party and just sort of announce it in front of everyone, because that's Jax, standard Jax. Like, he doesn't care.
At the party, you know, she was at.
At the house. No, I'm sorry. The housewarming party the next day.
Oh, okay.
At Jackson Brittany's. He was just like also shaking with this news in a very different way, obviously.
So
excited to be the one to tell it in front of everybody and embarrass her. And that's, we were like, no, we're not letting this happen. So I'm like, we just have to tell her. We have to tell her one-on-one. Let her make these choices for herself. I wasn't there. You're right. But when I have a friend telling me she was there, that's why I said I know it, that it's a fact.
Yeah.
And then
you had a good source.
And yeah, and there will be things on this upcoming episode tonight about that. So
proof.
Maybe I wasn't
more
so
proof.
Wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it comes from Sheena's mouth. So yeah.
So she's had time to obviously digest and
yeah.
And see the light. Yeah, because nobody wants to believe it at first.
I don't know if I'll say she sees the light. I think she makes it okay. She found a way to make it okay. And you know what? That's
okay
her,
that you guys told her?
Okay that
it happened.
That maybe something happened.
Oh, I think even worse.
I think the telling her thing, I don't think she'll ever be okay with that. I think she just keeps placing herself as this giant victim and that we're all out to get her. Like, what do I gain from telling you?
Yeah, more drama.
Yeah.
And right?
Everything's all my fault or all Katie's fault. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Have you guys, Haley or Lauren, have you guys ever been in this position before?
Thankfully, no. I'm in one right now.
Okay. Oh. Tell.
Well, so I have two guy friends from college who live together out here now.
Uh-huh.
And they, the one used to date a girl that also lives out here, but in college. And they still kind of are hooking up now that... they live out here again, but the friend that he lives with decided he was going to hook up with her too. Yeah.
And neither of them know they're hooking up with the same girl?
Nope.
And the girl knows.
Oh, yeah.
She's obviously hooking up with the two different penises. Okay,
exactly.
Got that. That's obvious.
And I am staying out of it. I am choosing to not say a damn thing.
Kristen, do you have any advice for Haley?
No, God, I feel like it's a case-by-case situation, though.
Yeah.
Because I knew going into specifically with the Sheena thing, I'm like, I contemplated it because I'm like, it's going to be my fault. I know that it's going to get blamed on me, whether mm-hmm. he did it or he did not do it, because I'm choosing to like get in the middle, mm-hmm. insert myself into other people's business that is not my own. But you know what? That's who I am.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I don't care. Is there a side of me, I would want to know.
Is there a side of you that knows it'll be good television too? Where you're just like a tinge of it. You're like, you know what? This is what we do.
That's where my guilt lies, though, because ideally I would have liked to have told her off camera because I would want to know. But you know what? We signed up for this 6 seasons ago.
Yeah.
And if I've been through it, we've all been through it. If there are skeletons, they're going to come out.
Yeah. So there's an understanding that, you know, you could do it privately, but truthfully, like, these are the things that have to happen on camera.
Yeah, and if we do it privately behind our producers' backs, we're going to still have to talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe the shock value wouldn't be there, but again, we signed up for this.
Yeah, so it's better to just do it in your mind.
For me, I do things based on what I would want for myself. So if this were a rumor about Carter, my boyfriend, then I would damn well hope people wouldn't be talking about this behind my back without telling me to my face.
Yeah. Yeah, Haley, I would stay out of it.
You're not
on Vanderpump Rules.
It's case by case.
Exactly.
No, I did it once in high school. I had two really good friends, and my one friend was cheating on the other, and it was eating me up. And I didn't say it overtly, but like there was some way. This is a long ass time ago. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, but what I remember is that I, in a roundabout way, kind of like said, maybe something's happening you should like open your eyes to. And she hated me forever. And he hated me forever. They both ended up hating me. And I was like, okay, I'm never doing this again. Like, I only have to burn my hand once on the stove. And right. It's like,
well, you ruin their life lie when you do that. So it's hard. And I think that's why Sheena got so upset.
Yes.
Because you disrupted her false reality.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great point, because people are willing to accept that this is a possibility or go through with, if this did happen, now I have to make choices. If they're adult enough to know what's really happening, then I don't think they're going to blame, you know, the messenger for it.
Yeah. In my case, I shouldn't have done anything. I should have stayed out of it. It's not my business. And mm-hmm. I was young. I didn't know any better. And now I do. Thanks for that lesson. Let's go to Sarah in Denver. Sarah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you a Vanderpump Show fan?
Huge fan.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So I'm wondering why you don't suck up to Lisa a little bit more for more camera time, because we miss you a lot.
You do watch Vanderpump. Does that seem like something I would do, Sarah? Clearly not.
Not really. But we just want more Kristen on the show.
I respect Lisa a lot, obviously, as a boss, as a producer. But there are just sometimes we hit it off and sometimes it's just never going to happen. You know, it just depends on the scenario. But I am stubborn. Lisa is stubborn. And it kind of is what it is. but there will be it's a very, very long season. So thank you for watching and thank you for wanting to see more of me. And trust me, it's not over. There's a lot to come.
Sarah, have you ever been in this situation where you've had to get in between people that are potentially cheating in your life?
Actually, my best friend in college, I hated her at first because she was with her boyfriend from high school still, and she had sex with someone in my bathroom. And
she should be on Vanderpump.
I actually hated her, and we ended up becoming best friends, and she's currently married to that guy. He has no idea. So.
Oh. Okay.
In the long run, I think it was better for them not to know, but that was definitely a weird situation.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Sarah.
Of course. May I ask Kristen one more quick thing?
Sure.
Yeah, what's up?
It seems like you and Ariana are a lot closer than you used to be, or at least getting along. Is that true, or are we?
I know. It's like the Twilight Zone, right? It's so weird. If you follow us on Twitter, I feel like she tweets me more than like my best friends do.
That's what I've been seeing. So.
Yeah, I would say we're friendly. I wouldn't say friends, but we're friendly, which feels really, really great to not have all that animosity between us since we are around each other so often.
What about Lala? You guys, I feel like the tides have shifted for Lala now. She was on the Tomorrow Show with Kevin recently, too.
That was a great show.
Thanks.
I watched that. Lala, I love Lala. Like, once she apologized to Katie on the reunion, that was my beef with Lala. Yeah, I gave her 10 times of hell about her boyfriend last year, and, you know, we were all kind of assholes to each other, all the girls. But once that was fixed and changed and they were kind to each other, that was my big problem with her. I'm like, you're bullying my best friend, and that makes me want to not like you. They apologized. I've now given her a chance to really get to know her, and I love her. We hang out pretty often. I went on the PJ.
What's the PJ?
Private jet.
Oh.
The one thing we said we'd never do.
Wait, you guys said you'd never do it, and you did it.
Yeah, we did.
Why?
And it was so much fun. She she invited us. Her boyfriend had a poker tournament and invited some of the cast. And it was strange because Jax and Sheena were not there. James was there. Ariana was there. Tom Sandoval. And we all got along.
There you go.
Wonder who the common denominators are.
The PJ. PJ makes everybody PJ happy. I do have to ask, since I just got married, that the Inquisitor recently reported that you are on the hunt for a wedding photographer. Does this mean that you're planning a wedding?
On a hunt for, yes, I am actually helping plan a wedding. It's just not mine.
Okay.
My sister is getting married in a few weeks.
Oh, cool.
So I'm the maid of honor. Actually, I love my sister and my very best friend since childhood, but I'm going to be honest, they're assholes because they thought it would be so wonderful to ask me to be the maid of honor in both weddings that are exactly 1 week apart.
Wait, your best friend and your sister are getting married a week apart?
Yeah.
Like, why are they doing that to all the common people?
And one is in Puerto Rico and one is in Michigan.
Wait. So your sister, is she not going on a honeymoon?
It's my sister. They're not going on one directly after the wedding.
Okay.
So my family is actually going to Puerto Rico to my best friend's wedding. And then they will get back to Michigan about 4 days before my sister's wedding.
So you got like a 2 week situation going on here.
Yeah. Two different weddings.
They are assholes.
Plan.
Why would they do this to you? I'm kidding.
I'm like with all the love in the world. And they asked me like 2 days apart.
No, that's so funny. Do you are you in control of what you're going to wear?
Kind of. I mean, luckily for the Puerto Rico wedding, it's only like 30. It's very small, like 30 people or so. And I'm one of two people standing up. With my sister's wedding, she is such a control freak, but also like, I don't really care. It can be like whatever.
But then once you start picking it, she's going to get really nitty gritty.
Yeah. They're both pretty open to things. I have the dress for one. I'm getting the dress for the other this week. But one's, you know, like a big wedding. One's a small wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
You know what's going to be great?
Crazy.
You're going to have two different perspectives on how to do a wedding.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just did mine. And even though it was all over, you know, TV and stuff like that, and it was, you know, everyone was able to watch, it was so intimate. And we had such a great time because it was just us.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to worry about anybody other than our parents.
How did you think you were going to do it before you planned this? Did you want to
have really
an intimate or a big wedding?
It was really hard because I really wanted it to just be us. And I ended up getting my way. As Kevin always says, I always win. He's like, you always win. I won. But I think he won too because he loves like a big event. And so we both got what we wanted.
Yeah.
But I didn't want, as much as I love planning things and all of that, I really wanted our thing to be special for us. And I think a big wedding takes away from the day for you and your groom because it just ends up being about everybody else.
Yes.
And is everything perfect for everybody else?
That's what I'm experiencing with my sisters because it's a bigger wedding. And she is making it about her, and her fiance is just like kind of let go of the reins. He's like, whatever you want. This is your day.
They're smart.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it really is like, is this going to be great for these people and these people? Are they going to like, it's like, who cares? It's yours.
Honestly, I'm so happy we did it the way we did. And, you know, our pictures look magnificent and everything felt just like the pictures end up telling the same story without the hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I feel like everyone thinks they have to do this big elaborate wedding and everything has to look amazing and you need the flowers and the this, and you really don't.
Yeah.
And it's totally okay. Like, I wanted to get married in the snow in Connecticut under the big pine trees, like in Rudolph. And when it's like, no church ever looked nicer. I wanted it to be simple like that with all the animals in the forest. Anyway, we're running out of time, but Kristen Doty, I love you. Thank you for coming in. You can find her on Instagram at Kristen Doty and at Vegaholic. You can get her website and her blog at vegaholic.com. And that's that. For the meantime, guys, be nice people, make good choices, have a great day, make it a great day. It can be a great day if you set your intention that it will be. Today, I'm going to have a great day.
Thanks for having me. Right. It was so much fun.
Thanks for being here.
Hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Now you're going to hear from Real Housewives of New Jersey star Kathy Wakili and see how she really feels about her cousin Teresa.
From news and pop culture to fitness and health to relationships and careers.
This is Conversations with Maria Menounos.
So Kathy.
Yes.
Let's talk bigger picture here. Of course, okay. Like I know people are wondering about you and Melissa.
Yes.
And I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I know your fans want to hear. Well, are you guys talking? What's happening?
You know, if we see each other, we'll talk. We're not going out of our way to see each other. Let's put it that way. You know, family stuff is hard.
I know.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have my own family, my children, my husband, my immediate family. They're would I like it to be different? Of course I would, but it's not. And I've tried.
I get
more.
Some shitty cousins, I know.
Yeah. I've tried more than I
not
could.
Not saying that she is. Yes. I don't know her. I'm not saying. But no. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like. I've tried over and over again. And I'm done trying. Yeah. You know? Like, I've gotten handed that olive branch out, but I'm tired of getting smacked with it. You know
good
what I mean?
For you.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to be going after the person, trying your best when they're not given the same.
No. I'm a grown woman. Yeah. Please. I don't need to beg anyone to be in my life. You know? I've tried to help. And, at this point, you know, they're lost, as they say.
Well, I always say, when it gets to that place, Kevin taught me, they're just people you grew up with.
That's it. Yeah. That's
because ultimately, we can choose who we want to be around.
Right.
And whether they're family or not, I had an interesting text exchange with one relative recently. Mm. And he was like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And I said, well, I'm so thankful that someone cares and is asking. Right. But that's beside the point. I said, I'm doing well, you know, just stress trying to take care of my parents from 3,000 miles away.
Sure.
And I said, you know, your mom is recently widowed and I think it would be great if you guys would get together, like get them together.
Right.
Okay, well, what do you need? I'm like, I just told you
what I need.
I said, they need visits. They need family. No different than when your dad was dying of cancer for an entire year. Not only were we all there, my parents drove 4 hours a day to take care of your parents and to be there for them. And you're asking me to now do what? How about you just do at least like a tenth of what we did for you?
Sure. Simple.
Okay, but I'm busy for like the next month.
Oh, don't say that.
But then after that, things should get easier. And I'm like, you know what? I think I define busy, and I figured out a way to fly back there twice in this time frame. Once when you first got diagnosed, and then once towards the end. And my parents were 4 hours a day. Like you don't even have like the understanding to say like, oh, this is my aunt and uncle who went so far out of their way to help us.
It's our turn to be there
like
for them.
That sure. And what they always say, Kathy, is like, family will always be there for you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, really? I'm still waiting.
Because it sounds good. It
yes.
sounds good. And
yes.
It sounds good to those people. You know, when you read something in print about yourself and you know it's absolutely not true and you can't believe it's coming from your own cousin, your own family, and you're like, really? Where does she get off? But, you know, everybody's got to sell books. You know what I'm saying? So,
Kathy, is the same with Teresa where you're also kind of, you know, if you see her, you'd say hi, but you're not really talking? Or are you guys reconnected?
Yeah. Okay. No. You know, I paid my respects when she lost her mom. And, you know, and she went on to say that I didn't because there was no cameras around to document it. You know, not everything needs to be documented by camera. But it's fine. I know God knows what I did. God knows what who I am.
Also,
and really, at the end of the day, that's
gone
really
through
what
in
matters.
Your life
exactly.
with your daughter. It's like there's an empathy that is innate in you that
absolutely.
You just,
especially when you experience something like that yourself, or you see your child go through it. Again, no time for bullshit.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
It's so funny. I'm always like baffled when they're like, hey, cuz, call me if you need anything.
Right.
And I'm like, I wouldn't call you if it was my last breath because you would never do anything. All you do is talk.
Right.
I have some good ones, of course, that are great. But then you're like, oh, my God, you guys are just deplorable. Like, awful.
Right.
Yeah. Why do I have to tell you to do the right thing?
Yeah, by that time it's too late. You shouldn't have to tell someone
oh
what
my
you
God,
should be
it's
doing.
It's so embarrassing, but yeah. I had a really nice text exchange and I got some things off my chest. I go, well, I wouldn't expect your one brother to do anything because when my parents were visiting your dad, your brother told my dad to get his effing wife and get the F out of there. And all they were doing was supporting and helping.
Right.
And then your other brother told my mom that she was a terrible mother. And my mom carries that every day. And before surgery, my brother and I begged him, release her of this pain. We want her to go into this surgery free. We know that this is something that haunts her. All right. Gets on the phone. I'm listening. Never
said
anything.
Never said a word. See?
And I'm like, you're an asshole. And I have nothing left to say to you.
Grow
and
some balls,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. And you know what? After a certain while, you wonder, you know, there are so many people that genuinely want to be part of your life. And you don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
So, why am I wasting my time with this negativity and this toxic type of people? I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need it in my life. It's going to bring me down. I'd rather share my life with people that genuinely care for me and that I care for in return. Yeah. And I don't need all the drama. So here we are, you know?
Drama-free, baby.
Exactly. The best way to be.
Yeah.
I saw that Jacqueline recently gave you guys some love with the pizza place.
She's been awesome, too. She lives right in the neighborhood. And oh, my God, she's great. She comes a lot.
Okay, so how do you handle the freebies? Does she get freebies?
Well,
or do
no.
you charge? Like, how does it work?
No, some days we're, you know, if we're with them or, you know, we'll send over something. Other times I can't be aware, you know, of everything that's coming and going. And, you know, she gets a nice VIP treatment. So it's nice, you know. But we have that customer VIP program in there for all of our diners. Yeah, we want to see our repeat customers, so giving them incentive to come back.
You know, we have a big fan of yours that just called in. And by the way, guys, if you want to talk to Kathy and you want to ask anything, but obviously, of course, some pizza questions, I'm sure at the top of your list, call us at 888-947-8277. Is it Sin?
Yes.
Sin,
it's
are you there?
From the Big Fat Joey Show on Long Island.
Hey, how you doing?
Kathy.
Hi.
How are you? I'm glad, Maria, you're feeling well. And Kathy, I'm glad your daughter is feeling well.
Thank you.
I so miss you on Housewives. I love you and your family.
Thank you. It feels great to hear, you know, all the love that we still get all the time. It's really nice.
Yeah, we met you at Cabo. And
yes, I remember.
We love you. And he's working some of the recipes in the cookbook.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I just wanted to say hi. We love you. I missed you on the show. Also,
I wanted to
know how Pizza Love is going. And,
it's going great. You guys have to come out.
Hold on. Here's another crispy bite.
Yeah.
I wish you had like smell-o-vision that I could smell it.
Well, you're close enough. Come on, Sin. You and Joey and little Joey have to come out and have some love with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. I wanted to know where you got that cute flippy dress, that maroon one, and that your daughter has that green dress. It's gorgeous.
Oh, you're so sweet. I met a great couple, well, mother and daughter that own a boutique out in Detroit.
My best friend.
Yeah. And
no way.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Maria.
Yeah, they have a great boutique called Daywood.
They do. Daywood in GP in Grosse Pointe in Detroit. And she sent me that because I admired it on her Instagram. She sent it for my birthday. It was so sweet.
Oh,
and so I wore
nice.
It to the wedding this weekend. But check them out. They're on Instagram.
Gorgeous. It looks
Daywood
gorgeous.
GP is their tag on Instagram. Check them out.
I am, definitely. I'm definitely.
Thank
and
you.
Where's Richie today?
He's walking the halls right now.
Wait, he just walked by now again.
He's walking and making faces at us through the window. You can't
come on in.
It.
Come in.
He's nuts.
He's going to come in and say hi.
Let me tell you, he's the man with the mane. He's got gorgeous hair.
Oh, we call him Richard the Lionheart. Yeah, with that mane.
Tell him to come in.
He's my Samson. You know, with that hair, I keep wanting to trim it. He goes, no, you're going to take my strength.
Sin, do you have any burning, desired questions to ask of Kathy? Anything like you're dying to know?
Oh, I want to. Well, definitely. We're going to definitely come visit you at the restaurant.
Thank you.
I said, I miss you on the show.
Thank you.
You and how's Rosie? I guess how's Rosie?
Oh, she's good. My sister Rosie's doing great.
And
my mom is doing awesome. Oh, thank God. Oh, they are really the anchors in my family. I love it. I love it. Maria's crunching away.
So
yeah, thank you for
wish
asking.
I wish your daughter the best, you know, to be a nurse. Thank you. That would be amazing. She'll
thank you.
A lot of, like, you know, lies for what, especially what she went through.
Thank you so much, Sin. I'll make sure that when you come out to Pizza Love, that Victoria and Joseph are both there. So I know you met Joseph at
yes,
on Long
adorable.
Island.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Thank you. And so I'll make sure Victoria's there, too, so you get to meet her.
All right. Well, Long Island, sending you love. We love you guys.
Oh, thank you. I love you guys out in Long Island.
Thank you, Sin. I got a couple more bites in because of you.
Take care. Take care. Feel well. Feel well.
Thank
okay.
you.
Best to everybody at home. Bye-bye.
You too. You too. Bye-bye.
So fun.
What do you think of the new cast and everybody on the show now?
So I haven't. I'm going to be honest. I haven't watched. Because it's just a lot to do mm-hmm. about nothing, you know, and I don't want to talk badly about what's happening or what's going on the show because I really haven't followed it, so I can't say for sure. But I know when we were on, the things that we talked about and the things that we did were real important things, you know, things that happen in family.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made Jersey so special, because I always tell people, you stay in Jersey because your roots are here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't go to Jersey to visit and say, oh my God, it's so beautiful. I have to move there. You know, it's not one of those places.
That's a good point.
It is
yeah.
beautiful because it's our New Jersey and we have everything that is beautiful, but it's not like going to California. Come
no,
on.
Of course.
You know, the weather kind of sucks and, you know.
kind of.
Yeah. And then there's the turnpike and there's that, the, you know, all that stuff. But we stay in New Jersey because we have roots here. Our
yeah.
family's here. And it's what keeps drawing us back to New Jersey. We may leave and go somewhere for work, but we always come back to our family. And so that's what made New Jersey, the franchise, so special.
Yeah. I remember watching it and being obsessed because I felt like it reminded me so much of my dysfunctional family,
yeah.
too, where I didn't feel alone in the madness of
Absolutely.
Kind of how it all was.
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I know for myself, with my family and with my husband's family, you know, everybody argues, everybody fights, everyone has disagreements, but at the end of the day, there's a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And we just couldn't seem to find that. You know, all parties need to be willing to resolve
yeah.
And let go of their pride or whatever it is that you're holding on to. You know, for me, life is too short. There's too many important things in the world. And if you could move past it and know you're connected and just really enjoy that and embrace that and,
yeah.
and accept people for who they are and what they are, you know, but we didn't seem to get past that. So, and the show decided to go in a different direction and I really wasn't part of that direction
yeah.
at all. As you could, I don't think that I fit in with the cast now. So,
yeah.
Kind of like everybody keeps asking, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, I've been getting a lot of compliments. Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, I'm happy.
That's all
what I'm
that
doing.
Matters.
Yeah. I'm pursuing what I love to do. I'm in the kitchen. I'm with my family. I'm doing things to help other people. And that's really what makes me happy. So I have met the other girls. I know I've met Margaret and I think she's great off camera. I haven't seen her on camera. You know, things
change.
Are a little different when the cameras are rolling. So I can't say. So I don't mm-hmm. want to take anything away from her. But I do know her off camera. And I think she's really a great straight shooter. Dolores, I know for years because she grew up in the neighborhood. And, you know, the other girls, I met Danielle once or twice and she's always been nice to me, but I really don't know her,
mm-hmm.
know her. And, you know, that's about it. Yeah.
You know, it's got to be hard when your family is
yeah, it
all
is.
On camera. Like,
yeah.
that's where it gets
yes.
so elevated to a level that nobody will understand because
mm-hmm.
none of us have been there.
Yeah. And that is hard. It is because, you know, things are said, things are done, and people talk in your ear and try to make a small situation bigger.
For dramatic effect.
Exactly.
And like
and
you
it,
said,
and
to sell cookbooks or
yeah,
to sell whatever
exactly.
it is.
And it works. And you have to remember who you are inside and say, you know what, I'm not going to bite at the bit because I'm not going to, you know, fall prey to that. This is still my family. But at the end of the day, sometimes you do. And
yeah.
you're not proud of it, but you own it. Like I said some things that were not very nice and I owned it and
yeah.
I apologized for it. More than that, I can't do. I can't take back words that I said. I can't take it back. But what I can do is apologize and not and going forward, not make those same mistakes.
Yeah. That's all you can ask
yeah.
of anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are you going to do any other television?
I would like to. You know, we'll see what's happening. I'm working on some things. It definitely would be in the cooking arena.
Yeah.
You know, because I really...
I saw Bobby Flay in the hall earlier.
Oh, he was running,
so I didn't even get to say hi to him. But
last time I was here, he was here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd really love to do that because that's what makes me happy, and it makes other people happy to learn like simple things, like a simple marinara sauce. You know, there's kids, there's a whole new generation of people that are ordering out all the time when they could be making simple things for their family.
Why don't you do it digitally? Because that's where we all get our content now.
Exactly. So that's what I've been working on. I've been doing a lot of Facebook Live. And my husband is so funny. He's the one that's working the camera. He goes off subjects so often that I want to kill him. Like, Rich, this has nothing to do with cooking. Just let's focus on the cooking. But he provides that comic relief. He's a little nut. And so we have fun with it. You know, we're together 24/7. People wonder.
Do you guys ever fight being 24/7?
We do, but then at the end of the day, he'll crack a joke and I can't resist laughing, and it's over. I mean, you know how it is.
I do.
It's not easy, but at the same time, I couldn't trust anyone else
ever.
Anything. He has my best interest at heart always.
How lucky are we?
I swear. It's the luckiest. I feel like I'm blessed every time I open my eyes.
I was laughing this morning. We were in the hotel and Kevin, I started playing like my playlist, and I have this like workout playlist that's super fun. There's a lot of like Latin music in it to kind of get me moving. And so I played it in the bathroom as I was getting ready, and the two of us were dancing in the bathroom and like having fun. And I'm like, this is so cool. Like after almost 20 years, we can still, you know, have fun and
travel together. I mean, my husband and I are married 26 years, and we just came back from the Middle East and Paris.
No way.
Yeah, we were in Lebanon.
You weren't scared?
No.
I'd be scared. I don't want to travel anywhere over there at all.
It was perfect. I don't want to go against what people, you know, if they're cautious or whatever. It was fine. It was the most beautiful vacation. We had a great time. And we travel often, all the time together. And people are like, well, how do you do it? You're with them 24/7 at home. You work together. You travel together.
You just do it.
He's my best friend, you know.
I know.
Right?
Aww.
Yeah.
I just saw Hoda Kotb walking by in the hallway. And then P.S. Love I saw her. Andy Cohen. How's your relationship with Andy Cohen?
Oh, Andy has been so great.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, I could text him and he'll text me right back. He's been really great. And I
text
him
right now. Be like, what do you think of Maria Menounos? Okay. And then read it live on the air.
Yes,
and don't tell him.
He's awesome. He's been really wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me about what else is going on with you.
So, you know, we're happy. We're doing really great. I'm doing more things in the culinary world. I'm going to be doing a really great event at Mohegan Sun, another food and wine festival. And I'm loving spending my time drama-free in the kitchen. My daughter is, as you know, is a 2-time brain tumor survivor. And so we do a lot of things to raise awareness for children's brain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
CBFT, the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation, is a great organization that helps families along their journey. You know, you get people, you get doctors and nurses, and you get all that medical stuff. But then what happens after?
Mm-hmm.
And for kids, we need more people talking about it, because
pediatric cancer is so underfunded. But
yes.
Hers was benign.
My daughter's was benign,
but
it went undiagnosed for a while because, especially with children, and she was 10 years old, she's getting headaches, you know.
Yep.
Oh, it could be hormonal, could be stress. What does a 10-year-old have stress about? But, you know, things happen. And then finally, she fainted. That was her telltale sign. We were on the beach and she fainted.
Wow.
And we took, you know.
She was 10 when she first.
Her first time. And we took her to the hospital right away because we were on vacation in Florida. And
Oh my God, you found out on vacation.
Yeah, it was the first day of our spring break. And I just said, you know what? It's the first day. I'm not going to take any chances. Let's take her to the hospital. And by chance, just by chance, because she was perfectly healthy, doing everything that normal 10-year-olds are doing. She was skating. She was taekwondo, everything. And the doctor said, you know what? Everything looks good, but let me just do one more test. And that's what she did. She did a CAT scan.
And what did they say?
She was afraid to face me, the doctor,
because
my husband had stepped out for a little bit. We just thought she fainted, maybe low blood sugar or something like that. But she came into the room and she says, well, where's your husband? I said, well, he just left to get the car wash. What's up? Can we go back to the beach? What's happening? She said, you know what? I'll wait till he comes back. I said, no, just tell me now. And she started to get teary-eyed.
Oh, God.
It's never good when a doctor gets teary-eyed. She was the sweetest person. She's our angel. And she told me, she said, your daughter has a tumor the size of a brain, the size of a tennis ball. And I said, that can't be. It was right in the front lobe of her brain. Yeah,
I have chills all the way down my body.
So, and they couldn't treat her there because it was just a regular regional hospital. It wasn't for children. So they brought her over to Joe DiMaggio's Children's Hospital in Hollywood, Florida. And they wanted to
operate right away.
Immediately. And I had no idea what to do. Not a clue.
What did you do?
It just so happened that I had met a doctor and his wife in our town. The kids were playing basketball and they were going on vacation too, and they said, oh, maybe we'll get together while we're in Florida. It was Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. I had his number in my handbag and I said, Rich, go get my bag. He said, I'm gonna call Dr. Gassemi. He says, well, why? He's on vacation. I said, yeah, he'll have other vacations. I only have this one daughter.
Yeah,
I'm calling him. I called him and he said, okay, this is what you're gonna do. You were going to get her home. And when they had advised me not to take her anywhere.
Of course, yeah. Because flights, they say you have a seizure. Exactly. My mom, I had a transport from Connecticut to LA. Exactly. It was the most scariest flight
Absolutely.
Ever.
You're, all you're doing is praying the whole time.
The whole time.
I remember I prayed for everything. And then we got her to New York, and the doctor greeted us and met us right there at the hospital, just as we did. We chartered a plane to get her home, a medical jet.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they tell you you really have a good chance of dying.
Exactly. You don't know what can
happen. And you're terrified. And so I said to them, I said, if I get a medical plane, I get a private nurse, the whole thing. They're like, we feel that the benefits outweigh the risks.
Absolutely.
We'll put her on seizure medicine and steroids and stuff. And that's what we did. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what we did. She came home and the doctor looked over her x-rays. And I said, well, maybe there's a mistake. Should we do them again? He said, no, the MRI is perfect.
Yeah.
He said, but I don't know what they told you. He goes, but I could tell you just by looking at these x-rays that it's not cancer. That's what he's 99%
sure. Yeah, because they can tell with the formation of it. If it's oddly shaped, like my mom's, like mine was like perfectly round.
Exactly. And then
at 10 years old, you're on vacation and then your vacation's over instantly.
Yeah, but it was, okay, what do I do?
Yeah.
And they did surgery the next morning. They said, let's just get her through surgery. And it was about 12 hours. And
documented on the show?
We talked about it. That was one of our motivations, actually, for joining the show, because we thought we could use this platform to talk about what's happened with her and that there are positive outcomes.
Yep.
And that's what we wanted to give hope to other people, other parents, to keep asking questions, because you automatically we'll take a doctor's word for it. And by no fault to the doctors that first diagnosed her and wanted to do surgery, but they don't see as many cases. So
yeah, you got to go where they have the most.
Exactly. You have to be your child's advocate.
You want to have a surgeon that's done 5,000 of these.
Exactly. And then she recovered like a champ. She was amazing. She broke all the rules. You know, you have to wear a shunt after surgery. They took it out before even, you know, the usual time frame. She was amazing, and her doctor was fantastic, Dr. Neil Feldstein over at Children's Hospital, New York Presbyterian. Amazing. And
did they get the whole tumor out the first time?
No. What happened is where it's located in a spot where they didn't want to dig too. He didn't want to dig too much.
Where was that? I'm curious.
Right in the front over her hypothalamus, and it would control her memory loss, short-term memory function. It could have paralyzed her or something like that. So he was very, very conservative, but so he left a bit. He said, really, the chances of it growing back are not likely, but the type of, she has a benign astrocytoma, so the way it grows is like a cauliflower form. And lo and behold, 10 years later, on her anniversary, we ended up in the hospital.
On her anniversary?
And she knew. She said, Mom, something's not right. Let's go see the doctor. I went in. We took her in. He says, well, you look great. Let's just do an MRI. Did an MRI. Went to go see him back, and he says, yeah, you know your body.
How big was it this time?
It was only a small piece. that grew back, small little piece, but it was blocking her passageway for the fluid to be passing. Oh, that's God. Why she was
so
feeling fuzzy.
She had to have operation again.
Yes, the same exact operation. So she said, "Doc, happy." I mean, it was 10 years to the day.
Wow.
So she walked in saying, "Happy anniversary, Doc." He says, "Well, this isn't how I expected us to be celebrating, but okay, let's go." And I think it was harder than at 10 when she was 20.
Yeah.
Because she had to hear the facts. You know, when you're 10, you could, they
you're
told
young,
me.
You just trust mom, whatever
exactly,
mom says.
Exactly. But
do.
When to see her digesting the news, you know, and her hearing all. Everything that goes along with it, that has to be the hardest thing because
well,
you can't take that fear away.
At 20, if she's having an operation in the front of her head, she's losing all her hair there.
Right.
And it's a lot different as a young woman.
She actually, the doctor was so amazing. He only took away, shaved, it was the same incision. So he only took away two fingers, enough and set back. So it's not in the front completely.
So she could
it's
hide
set
it.
Back. You can't see it. And I've talked to her even a few times about a revision. And she says, "No, Mom, you could see it." She's like, "Mom, this is who I am. It makes me a warrior."
God bless her.
And I'm just so proud of her because she has that, you know, well, nothing's going to stop me attitude. And she does not one minute did she ever feel sorry for herself. The doctor walked in the next day. She was out of bed. I mean, you know how quickly
it's hard.
I think it's the hardest thing you've ever had to do is get out of bed, just lift your head that first time. Right?
Well, yeah, there's video of me trying to do it. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Kathy Wakili about her daughter's brain tumor. Yeah, when but mine was on the trigeminal nerve and wrapped around it where it controls my balance. So I was in a much deeper situation in terms of how to get out of bed.
Right.
And I was having double and triple vision. I couldn't see, so I couldn't open my eyes. Like, I was a wreck.
Sure, I'm getting, like, nauseous just thinking about how you must have been feeling that.
And I'm tough, and I couldn't. It took me a long time to get out of that bed when I did. I think it was a couple days after. They kept wanting me to walk, but I'm like,
but
I can't
so hard.
Even see.
Sure,
And Kevin just kept saying to them, he's like, no, you don't understand who she is.
Right.
If she could.
She would be...
She'd be running a marathon right now. Like, she would not listen to you guys. Like, she's tough, but she literally can't
do it. Yeah.
And so that's where I had to kind of, luckily I had him to kind of advocate for me and let them know, like, trust me, if she could,
being,
this girl would do it.
Right, exactly.
You don't have to worry about her.
Yeah. It's so hard. And I would see her face change, like the color get ashen, like, she's going through something right now. Just give her a minute. And she did it. And, it was amazing to see her recover. The doctor came in and says, "Why aren't you on your computer?" She goes, "I just had brain surgery, doc." He goes, "Oh, no, get on your computer, call your friends, start texting.
Be normal."
He was so pro her getting back to normal because, as you said, at 20 years old, it's very easy to fall in that situation where, I'm at my prime. Mm-hmm. Things are going great for me. And then this happens. Why me? And she didn't. And that's something that you share. You're just going for it. I'm so proud and inspired by your strength. It's wonderful.
Thanks.
It's not easy. I know it's not.
You know, I have video talking to Dr. Black because I documented everything. Mm-hmm. And I saw this video recently because I'll go through them once in a while. And I was like, "So Dr. Black, I've been using my phone and I'm really trying to like force myself to like, I know I can't see them. I'm like, it's hard, but I'm like, sometimes I can see it enough to send out a text, but I'm really trying to push myself." Right. And he would just like look at me and laugh. He's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
But
it's really great. You need that and then you also need those days where you could just put your feet up and say, "Okay, I'm going to take a me day."
Yeah.
You know, I need to just be focused on me.
For someone that young to have that, it's like, okay, you went through a little bit of pain here, but it's like they say, no pain, no gain. Like she's going to gain she already has gained a whole other perspective on life.
Absolutely.
That's going to guide her in a bigger way.
Yeah. And she has a renewed purpose and she's wanted to be a nurse since she's a child, but now she wants to be that nurse that held her hand.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be that for someone else. So it's really, I'm so proud of her. I'm so glad that she's chosen this path and I know that she was saved for a purpose and, for her to touch other people and raise awareness and make sure that other people know that it doesn't have to be the, you know, so scary. There's people out there that can help.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know we had my nurses on my show because I was
awesome.
They were the nicest. I cried so hard. They're like, most people are begging to leave. You're the only one that wants to stay. Yeah. I'm like, because no one's been this nice to me ever. Like, yeah, you guys are so, so wonderful. Great.
Yeah, they really are. They're so great. It's a special, special quality that they have. And
yeah,
they really are, I believe, sent from God. And everything along your path has been sent. Yeah,
I agree.
Yes, absolutely.
I 100% agree. Yeah. Well, Kathy, thank you for joining us this this morning or this afternoon. I forgot we're in New York. And let's give people info on Pizza Love. So you guys, her restaurant at pizzalove_201. I tagged it on my Instagram stories. It's in New Jersey. I promise you it's worth the ride, even though it's not that far away because the pizza was hot by the time I got here. Her website, KathyWakiliDesserts.com. And of course, they're supporting the Children's Brain Tumor Foundation. I'm sure that's on your website as well.
It is, and they're celebrating the 30th year.
Amazing.
That does it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our free Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Help us, please, by rating and commenting on iTunes, and be sure to tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Join our Conversations crew if you guys want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, and so much more. Please email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, or you can click the link in my Instagram bio. Follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Jeff M. Stoltz, at Lauren LaGrasso, at Haley Clover, and remember, be nice people, make good choices.